When the idea of legalizing marijuana is brought up, it's met with a variety of reactions. Among the pros are that it would take weight off of the courts and law enforcement and create revenue for the state's economy. Those who oppose the idea say it creates a greater risk for addictions and dangers in our backyard. My next guest joins us to discuss the potential of marijuana being legalized in New Jersey and respond to some of these views. She's policy counsel for the ACLU in New Jersey, coordinator of New Jersey United for Marijuana Reform, Diana Wainu. Thanks for being here today, Diana.
My pleasure.
And a couple of websites. Of course, we have them linked to our page, NJUMR, that's New Jersey United for Marijuana Reform, and for the ACLU in New Jersey, it's ACLU-NJ. And when we say legalization of marijuana, it's not just simply Governor Murphy signing a proclamation or the equivalent of an executive order. What are some of the specifics are you looking as far as the elements of legalization? Safeguards, for example, policies that need to be either added or altered?
So the ACLU and our partners with NJUMR are coming to this issue because we see marijuana legalization as a racial justice and social justice issue. Right now, we're in the midst of a civil rights crisis in that blacks are disproportionately arrested for marijuana possession, even though blacks and whites use marijuana at the same rates. And so you're absolutely right. Legalization alone doesn't really capture what we see as the potential for a really progressive criminal justice reform here. What we need from legalization legislation is making sure that people's records are expunged. We want to make sure that people have a meaningful chance of getting jobs or business ownerships that are going to come with the building of this new industry. We also want to see reinvestment of the money that's generated into community programs, programs like education, drug treatment and prevention programming, adult education, job training, reentry services, programs that our communities desperately need. And we also want to make sure that that people are allowed to grow a limited number of plants at home for personal use, so that people who have low income or are have limited mobility can access the plant, and patients can grow the strains that they need. And some of the policy considerations that also need to be incorporated are making sure that we do protect children. So we have protect requirements on packaging and labeling to prevent accidental exposure. We need safeguards to build safe products. So we would need testing requirements and quality control mechanisms. And we need to make sure that we have a strongly regulated system so that we can protect public health, protect public safety, and build an industry that works for all of New Jerseyans.
Is there a concern, albeit in the early stages of what's probably going to be detailed and time-consuming procedure, that when it comes to the financial aspect of legalization, that it seems that there's maybe more voices than not looking at it to fill the financial hole that the state is in, to close the gap regarding the state pension workers fund, the transportation trust fund, versus what you're hoping the money goes for?
Well, there's always a risk of money being allocated to different measures, to different areas, but we really want to make sure that it's written into the legislation that money goes back to communities, and particularly to communities that have been directly impacted by the war on marijuana.
For the layperson, define what's the difference between legalization and decriminalization? Because I guess maybe a better question would be: would it be a better plan to treat legalized marijuana much like an alcohol product is treated or a tobacco product is treated?
So it's a great question. We often hear some people using decriminalization and legalization synonymously, and some people who understand a little bit about the difference propose decriminalization as an alternative to legalization. But so here's what decriminalization is. It removes criminal penalties from the offense, but people would still be penalized. They would be, instead of being arrested for marijuana possession under a decriminalization model, people would be issued citations, kind of like parking tickets. The problem with decriminalization is that it doesn't achieve the racial justice and social justice goals that have been expressed by advocates and members of our legislature and the governor. Because under decriminalization, you can still get arrested if you can't pay your fines. We see states like New York that have decriminalized since the 70s, and they're still making thousands of arrests. And so we know those arrests are going to disproportionately impact poor people and people of color. Decriminalization also does nothing to regulate marijuana, so we still wouldn't have safe products. We wouldn't have packaging and labeling requirements to mitigate exposure to children. We wouldn't have, it does nothing to take marijuana off of the streets and put it behind a counter where people under 21 cannot access it. It does nothing to generate, you know, create jobs or generate the revenue that can fund community programs.
Oh, Diana Wainu, who is the policy counsel with the ACLU in New Jersey. She's also coordinator of New Jersey United for Marijuana Reform, NJUMR.org, as well as ACLU-NJ.org, two of the appropriate websites. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. So with the legalization and treating legal marijuana much like alcohol, again, theory, and there are some studies out there showing some statistics with how both can impact behavior, create public behavior. You can, for example, be arrested for public intoxication. Any disruptive behavior that comes of that, driving while intoxicated, another one comes to mind, that would keep those safeguards in place via legalization versus decriminalization.
Absolutely. Our laws against public consumption of marijuana and driving under the influence, those would remain unchanged. Those would still be against the law, and even if we legalize. And so we really want to make sure that we're creating a legalization structure here in the Garden State that protects public safety. And any time an officer has to take time away from his duties to book, arrest, or process somebody for a marijuana possession, it takes that officer off the street for anywhere from 3 to 8 hours. That's valuable time that officers can be using to address real public safety threats.
There was a report going to the con side, those against legalization marijuana, from the Governor's Highway Safety Association, which tabulated the change in pedestrian fatalities reported by states, and they singled out and separated the states where marijuana is legal, with one notable exception, California. And this, that would leave then Alaska, Colorado, D.C., Maine, Massachusetts, Nevada, Oregon, and Washington State, where individually you had Alaska, for example, from the first 6 months of 2016 versus 17. An increase of 33% in fatalities, almost 20% for Nevada, as well as for Oregon, Washington State, average out to 16.4%, where all other states where marijuana was not legal, pedestrian fatalities in that same time period dropped 5.8%. So their conclusion is that legal marijuana creates increased use of marijuana and is increasing or adding to road risks, much like alcohol does.
So I'm glad you brought this up. That report actually has some major flaws, but the two notable ones are the first one that you already mentioned, is that that analysis omitted California. And if you look at if you incorporate this data from California, California alone saw a decrease of about 18% in pedestrian fatalities. So if you look at the legalized states and you include California, there is no increase in pedestrian deaths among legalized states. The second fatal flaw in this public report is that the report itself explicitly refused to draw any causal or correlation links between the data that it was presenting and the conclusions that it was drawing. So really, readers can't accurately assess the credibility and reliability of this information if the report is itself relying on incomplete data.
About 30 seconds left here. In your hope or in your vision, what kind of timeline would you anticipate legalization process to take in New Jersey?
You know, we've witnessed really significant progress in the last few months, even. Our legislature is holding hearings and has more hearings planned in the coming months. And so I'm pretty hopeful that the legalization conversation will continue to advance, continue to develop, and more people will continue to get involved in these conversations as the year progresses. And so as to when we can expect legalization to finally be implemented, I'm hopeful that there is a significant opportunity for that to happen this year.
She is the policy counsel for the ACLU in New Jersey, also coordinator of New Jersey United for Marijuana Reform. Their respective websites, njumr.org and aclu-nj.org. Diane Wainu, thanks so much for the insight, the education, for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Chris.